Hey, it's Cappy, and this is Beyond the Plate, Heard, the audio newsletter where I share what's on my plate literally and figuratively. From culinary insights to restaurants and recipes, it's everything that I'm seeing, tasting, and talking about in just a few minutes. It's not a peer-reviewed culinary journal. It's just my take on what I'm into at the moment. So let's dive in, and I hope you all take something from my plate. Okay, first up is Goop Kitchen. You've probably been hearing a lot about this recently because they just opened in New York City. But Goop Kitchen is an extension of Goop, which is the lifestyle brand founded by Gwyneth Paltrow back in 2008. And although Goop Kitchen started in 2021 or so, it's basically nutritious and really delicious food that also happens to be gluten-free. I never tried it before. I definitely heard about it, but a few months ago, I was flying to Anaheim for the Expo West show, and I was doing one of my intermittent fasting days, and I needed some really good quality bone broth. So I searched on one of the delivery apps, and Goop Kitchen popped up, which kind of surprised me because I thought they were only in LA at the time. Anyhow, I believe this one was being delivered from Costa Mesa, which is about 20 minutes or so from Anaheim. And while I intended to order only the bone broth, I kind of spiraled a little bit and made it a full meal or two, because the menu looked really good. So they have a bunch of different bowls, salads, wraps, summer rolls, as they call them. A lot of comfort food-ish type things. And almost everything comes with a really delicious and well-executed sauce or dressing. I got the bone broth, as I mentioned, which was a turmeric spiced chicken broth to break my fast that I was on. And I also wound up ordering the kale and Brussels salad, a fancy mac and cheese, as they call it. I got a side of their mushroom carnitas, which were very good, and some great, light, delicious, crunchy summer rolls. And not for nothing, you can tell a lot of thought went into the whole Goop Kitchen concept. The food, the packaging, all of it, really spot on. The kitchen is headed up by Chef Kim Floresca, who has a really solid background, and it shows. And as I mentioned, this may start popping up in your feed more because they recently opened in New York City and have been getting a lot of buzz. You can find all the links and handles I mentioned in the show notes. Next up is Figa. So Figa is, think of it as like a chocolate bar. Also has nothing to do with figs. Just thought I'd mention that. But in Brazil, fazer Figa, pardon my pronunciation if that's way off, is basically a gesture that is meant to bring good luck. So I was at an event recently and they had this incredible snack spread. I picked up what I thought was just this little chocolate bar. And right as I was about to try it, a woman walking by me told me that it was created by someone from Google and her husband. Their names are Ariel and Ronnie. Naturally, I was intrigued. So Figa is made with just three ingredients. And the main one is called cupuaçu, which if you've never heard of it, they explain cupuaçu as chocolate's Brazilian cousin. Both fruits are actually related, the cacao and cupuaçu. But the big difference is that cupuaçu does not contain caffeine. The seeds of cupuaçu get transformed into this chocolate-like treat that's honestly, like if I blindfolded you, you'd probably think it was chocolate. Very similarly flavor and texture overall. Figa currently makes three flavors, a salty version, a pure version, which is essentially plain, and a fruity version. And look, I'm not saying this is going to replace chocolate, but I am saying it's delicious, very intriguing, and potentially kind of game changing. So check out what they're up to at Figa Foods, follow them on social, and also keep your eyes open for these bars because I have a feeling you're going to start seeing them around a lot more. Next up is Melissa Clark's Instant Pot Rice Pudding. I think this was published many years ago, but here's the deal. I've been making a lot of granola recently, and I know I've shared about it at least twice here on Herd. So I went digging through my recipe notes file to see what else had caught my eye recently, where I paste recipes that I want to make. And I remembered I had saved Melissa Clark's Instant Pot Rice Pudding from New York Times. Now, if you've been listening along here, you probably know I recently got an Instant Pot pressure cooker situation. So naturally, I'm in that phase where when I see recipes that use it, I get pretty intrigued. As I mentioned, the recipe was published in the New York Times, and honestly, it's pretty much all I needed to know. I trust what's coming out of New York Times food kitchens, if you will. So I'll be making this soon. I am a big rice pudding fan in general. And then I recently saw Sarah Fennell from Broma Bakery, who I've also mentioned on here, posting about her love for rice pudding too. So all the stars are aligning. And if you've ever been to Paris or plan to go to Paris, I've got three words for you. Chez La Mijan, the best rice pudding ever. I will share the links and handles in the show notes. Next up is the Teaching Kitchen Collaborative. If you know me, whether it's work or play, I'm a huge fan and proponent of cooking and food education. So the Teaching Kitchen Collaborative, or TKC, is a nonprofit network and membership organization that focuses on using teaching kitchens as a tool to improve public health, food literacy, and just overall wellness. And what I love about this is that it brings together healthcare systems, universities, chefs, nonprofits, researchers, corporations, community organizations, all these different people that are all centered around the idea that hands-on cooking education can genuinely help people live healthier lives. It's actually the only nonprofit membership organization dedicated specifically to supporting the growth of teaching kitchens to improve human health. TKC was launched in partnership with Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health and the Culinary Institute of America around 2016 or so. Honestly, the more I learn about programs like this, the more convinced I am that cooking education needs to be treated as a real part of wellness and preventative health. If you want to learn more about TKC, I'll share the link in the show notes. Next up, just a quick shout out to the recently released North America's 50 Best Bars list. And we may or may not have had four of the top 10 on past episodes of Beyond the Drink presented by Ford's Gin. No biggie, but seriously, huge congratulations to everyone on the list. And an extra big shout out to Steve Schneider from Sip and Guzzle in New York City for landing at number one. If you haven't heard it yet, check out my conversation with Steve from Beyond the Drink, season 10, episode 12. It was a pretty fun conversation, and he's a great human and just really cool story. And clearly, they're doing something right over there. Okay, one last thing before I leave you. So very randomly the other night, my son asked if we could have sushi tomorrow. Now, we've never really been a big sushi as a family type of family. I like sushi. I don't eat a ton of it. That said, he is a huge fan of those seaweed snack packs, you know, those little crispy seaweed-like chips. And actually, sometimes I'll make rice in our rice cooker, and he'll put a spoonful of the rice on the seaweed snacks and roll it up like a little hand roll, which honestly, I thought was pretty brilliant. Anyhow, the next night, I ordered takeout from a little local sushi spot down the street. But instead of ordering one roll and waiting to see if the kids liked it or hated it, I turned it into like a mini taste test of sorts, which I often do with food that they want to try. So I kept it pretty simple. I ordered a very basic just cucumber roll, an avocado roll, and then I got a little funky with avocado mango roll and added some of those little crunchies inside there. And honestly, it all worked out pretty great. They tried all three of the rolls. They compared the flavors and textures and decided what they actually liked instead of just trying one and being locked into that. And also, not for nothing, some of these simple veggie rolls were only like $4 or $5, which felt pretty reasonable for a fun little food experiment. So I guess the moral of the story is, instead of asking kids to try one thing, if you have the opportunity, give them two or three options and make it a taste test. It can kind of turn into a game instead of a food negotiation. And you probably know what I'm talking about if you have kids and hear me use the term food negotiation. Thanks for listening to Herd. It's a production of Beyond the Plate. You can find all the links and handles that I mentioned in the show notes. If you like this episode or any of our Herd episodes, can you please tap the follow button and tune in for more of these Herd episodes where I'll be sharing what I'm seeing, tasting, and loving lately in food and hospitality. And if your friends and family may enjoy it, I hope you'll share it with them. Until next time.